A new one-off comedy drama, Mrs. Inbetweeny, appeared on BBC Three in March this year. Notwithstanding the excruciating title, the one-hour show is centred around a depiction of a transsexual woman that is, well, radically different to anything attempted before. The central part of Emma is played by a familiar and much-liked British actress, Amelia Bullmore. Amelia's acting credits read not so much like a who's who as a what's what of contemporary TV drama. Some of you will remember her as having played Steph Barnes in Coronation Street, and she's appeared since then in serious and comic dramas such as Brass Eye in the famous paedophile episode, Alan Partridge, Linda Green, The Bill, Cracker, D.L. and Pasco, and very recently now as Caroline Price in Ashes to Ashes. A few days after Mrs. Inbetweeny was first screened, Amelia welcomed me into her home in South London, and, after she very kindly made me lunch of scrambled eggs on toast, I began our interview by asking what brought her to acting.
I just always liked doing it. A bit conventional in the sense that my mum says that I could, to entertain my brothers, because I've got two older brothers, and if you're not going to disappear, you've got to do something. And I could do my mum's friends. So I would do my mum's friends for my brothers, which would make them laugh. And I was hooked on Crossroads at the time. And Amy Turtle. Do you remember Amy Turtle?
I do.
I just adored Amy Turtle, which was quite an unlikely heroine to have for a, I don't know, 8-year-old girl or something. And I would be her for days at a time, just wearing a tangerine net over my head, and I could make a Marks and Spencer's plastic bag into a sort of tunic, which was like her overall, and I would just be Amy Turtle. So I always loved to slip into being somebody, and I had quite a good ear. I could hear how people spoke, and I'm not very good at thinking big things, but I think in detail, and I think I've always liked that. So, and both the things that I like to do, writing and acting, seem to me just to come from that in me, that I'm just built that way.
Yes, you've mentioned the writer. You wrote a couple of episodes of This Life, and you've done a lot of other things. You devised the series Black Cab. Is that something you plan to develop further?
Well, I do both. I act and I write without any sort of system. What rolls up, rolls up. And also depends if Paul, my husband, is away. That means that's a very good time for me to write, because we've got children. So sometimes I write and you can have things bubbling along with writing that take a long time. It could be a very long gestation period. But you can get an acting job, could start the next week, and 6 weeks later you're done. It's over. So they have very different tempo, the two jobs. So they're quite a good mix, I think. So I hope to always do both.
Now, one of your latest projects, of course, is Mrs. Inbetweeny, the tale of a dysfunctional family who are suddenly dependent on a distinctly ballsy transsexual woman. What attracted you to audition for that part when it came up?
It was interesting how it came up. The phone call went from my agent. David Shaw, the casting director, has phoned, and he prefaced the whole thing with, he hopes you wouldn't be offended by this, but there is this part as a transsexual. How would you feel about going up for it? I think the idea being that it's supposed to be a terribly offensive thing to say to somebody, I can picture you as the opposite sex. So I said, I'm not remotely offended. And the idea that you could be considered right for something so stretchy and exciting is a good thing, only a good thing. So I said, send me the script. And read the script, and I thought, well, I have to give that my very best shot.
Of course, there have been some really interesting portrayals in recent years. There's Hilary Swank at the part of Brandon Tina in Boys Don't Cry. There's Felicity Huffman in Transamerica. What do you think it is about trans parts, then, that actually does attract actors?
I think often the parts you play, if you think of how amazingly varied and complex the people you know are, but quite often characters, particularly in stories told quickly, which TV stories often are, the character could just be a job. Sometimes your character is just the character's job. She is a policewoman, and she drives a red car, and she sometimes loses her temper. That can be as exciting as a character gets. So when a person has as much going on, as much investigation of themselves as a trans person does, then automatically you've got a much, much richer, better thought through character possibly than you might otherwise. And also, you don't always want to be playing people who are just maybe a step or two from you. It is about which corners of you can you bring to the fore and stretch out to inhabit somebody who on the face of it is quite different. Because I think you've got all the bits in you to play everybody. You just have to organise them and bring the ones you need further forward and shove the other ones back, if that makes any sense.
So tell us about Emma, the part you play.
Well, all the clues were in the script. It was very, very clear what Caleb Ransom, who wrote it, how he was picturing her. And you just look, you go through a script for clues all the time. So what people say about the character, and people described Emma when she was a man, she was a straight man. There were lots of women, there was lots of gambling, there was lots of drink. So she was a flamboyant, you've got a sense of the character, of the essence of the person, regardless of gender. And then you think, and he's very specific about these red shoes, about it might just say she sashays by or something like that. You think, right, you've really got a picture in your head of this individual woman and of the kind of woman she's wanting to be, and you just try and get behind that. And also, she's acting a lot of the time because she's terribly scared, because she hasn't been around for 8 years, and last time she was around, she was Brendan. So she has done hormone therapy and begun this whole process away in the States. So she's come back with a combination of terror and defiance. See me, get me, take me on board, and will you?
She's got the shields up, hasn't she?
Yes, she's got shields up big time. So there's a lot of things that are very, very clearly in the script about that woman and that individual. And plus, it's a comedy. So it is not going to be a very, very complex, nuanced investigation of a particular journey. It's not, you know, it's a comedy with somebody in it who is transgender. It's not a documentary. It's not a beefy film. So you just have to go with the tone. You have to think, this is what this is how this is being treated, and you have to serve that, really.
But you must know it's a very radical part in terms of the type of transsexual person being portrayed in Emma is very different to the way that transsexual women in particular have been portrayed before. How do you think she compares?
Well, I read an interview with a Japanese dancer, and she was saying that when she transitioned, at first, she couldn't get enough of the kit, the hair, the short skirts, the heels, the makeup. She wanted all the toys out of the box immediately. And her look, because what's so interesting is that you could say, well, there shouldn't be so much emphasis on the external, but the external and the internal, you know, it's what you put on your outside, how you invite people to perceive you, so, so important. So it seems to me that Emma, maybe in terms of her look or what she's projecting as a woman, will mellow. But she is in a very, very peacocky phase of get me, what do I make you feel? What do you feel about me? Here I am, don't ignore me. Are you attracted? Are you frightened? She's provocative. So I just took that as her moment, and that's where she's at. And I know it's, if you think about Trans America, or if you think about Boys Don't Cry, there's such different moments in a person's life, it's such a different tone and take on it. So I just went with what was there.
Now, you've mentioned those reference points. What other sort of research did you do for the part? Do you know many trans people?
I know one woman slightly and another woman very, very slightly. But the woman I know slightly, amazingly, I was advised not to talk to, because I think there is a program being made about her. So they said, I said, I'm going to talk to this man. They said, no, don't, because it would be terrible if she thought that we were exploiting her as research material, and then, in fact, she's doing her own separate thing. So I have always been interested. If ever I've been able to read anything about it, I have. It just seems to me inherently interesting, all those things about who you are, whether your outside matches your idea of who you are inside. So I've always listened out, looked, read. It's always something that's interested me.
This almost then sounds like an academic question, but did you actually enjoy doing the part?
Yes, I loved it. I was very scared for the first couple of days. I felt, oh, are these choices right? Is this too coarse? Is this... And the costume designer, John Krauser, who was brilliant, and he is a gay man, and he was very, very hot on the difference between a transvestite look and a transsexual look. What somebody who was a woman for life, how that is so very, very different from putting on... putting on clothes for a night. And we talked a lot about that. We couldn't get away from the fact that she is so flamboyant. So, what was the question? Did I enjoy it? So at first I was thinking, is this walk too much? Am I too camp? But then the lines were camp. You just kept thinking, right, we've only got 10 days to do this in. All you can do is proceed. You've made your choices, actually. A lot of the choices I made before I went up for it. So you just have to stick to your guns. Otherwise, you're not only going to be doing something you may... choices you may regret, but you're going to be doing those choices badly. So you might as well commit to your choices. So after a couple of days, I just thought, right, you've got to get on with it now.
And... As you played the part, did you actually feel that you were getting into her and understanding her motivations?
Yes. Every time her name cropped up, I really keenly felt that, how important it was to be Emma and not Brendan, and that there was a point where she'd gone to see her brother about something or other, and he stops her. He says, Brendan, and she turns. And I said, but I wouldn't, because, one, I'm not, and two, even if reflexively I would turn my head to Brendan, I can't let him have that. So he can say Brendan as much as he likes, but I will not turn until he says Emma. So there were things... every time I said her name, my name, I felt how important that was. And in fact, she says it a lot, her name.
And in hindsight, then, what tips would you have for other actors attempting a trans role?
I wouldn't presume to give anybody any tips. You just... you can never tell anything you've done. I think you can tell if it's dreadful, but for the rest you think, I think that's probably all right, and you'll never know more than that. But it's what you just have to think about... what you want, scene to scene. Do I want my mother to like me, or do I want my mother to hear me? Do I want my mother to... It's sort of back to what you want the other characters to do. So a lot of it is what you want people to do, so it's the action of what your lines are. And then on top of that as well, you've got your external things, which is sometimes it's literally, I've got to hit that yellow cross on the floor. I've got to hit that mark, otherwise this shot won't work. And sometimes it is that you will just... something that makes you feel right for the person. And I had these extensions, I had these nails, and they felt I had, there was something about being more womanly in lots of ways than I am that helped. So she was very, very body conscious in a way that I'm probably less body conscious. And she was watching every move she was making herself the whole time.
There's a lot of hip waving, isn't there?
There was a lot. I was relieved when you said at the screening that you thought the movement was okay, because I had thought, oh, is this totally over the top? But it's also a celebration, isn't it? If that's who you want to be, then I think she's going for it. She might not be going for it in the same way in 2 years' time, but for now, the groove she's in is strutting and wiggling.
And it could be fun to strut and wiggle.
Yes.
If the chance came to play Emma again, would you do it?
Yes, I would. I mean, I don't think that show has a future. I think they've made their choice, which is to do with the demographic of BBC Three. But yes, I would jump at it. It was I was so, so sad when the job ended, and it was great.
And lastly, how do you think you'd fare if you were trans yourself?
Well, I've thought about that a lot, and it's a hard one because you never know where your head's going to be at. You know, I always think, I'd love to be a man twice. I'd like to be a man once with my brain, with total recall of that week, and then I would like to do it stick of rock man, you know, as if I've always been wired as a man in every way. But I would like to know afterwards what that... I just would love to know what it feels like. But I don't know. I think... It's the thinking I'd be really interested in. I feel, because I live with a man, I feel very, I feel like I've got two bodies. I've got my body and I've got my man's body, which happens to be his. But I feel, I know that very, very well. But as to how he's thinking, that would be so fascinating.